Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome once again to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Yvonne Youngblood, who leads the St. Patrick Tuesday evening Bible study. How are you, Yvonne?
Hello, Margaret.
Well,
good to be here.
Thank you for that. I'm really excited to have you here. You were actually an instructor for my second annual summer camp, and people really enjoyed you.
Thank you.
So it's great to see what you have to offer us today. Now, before we get started, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm 75.
Okay,
so
thank you.
So it's been a long story. I'm a native of Rotterdam, Holland. Educated all through high school by the Dominicans. So I am now a perpetual professed lay Dominican. When we finished high school, the Dominicans had taught us five languages fluently. So my dad put me first on the boat to England, where I studied for several months. And then I went to Paris for French and to Salzburg in Austria for German. And then I became a hostess of the city of Rotterdam. But I found that I had a lot of informants that came in for answers in Spanish. So I packed my bags again, went to Spain. And I did pick up Spanish, but not the way that I had expected. I met my husband. This was 51 years ago in southern Spain. We married. One child was born there. I had four more. We moved 22 times.
Wow.
He worked for the Army and Air Force Exchange eventually. And so we've been many places. My big love has always been the church, because the church is our vehicle to salvation. And for some reason, I wasn't all that very good a student in school, but always had an A-plus in religion. When my children were big enough, I started actively working for the church in 1974 in the St. Joseph Church in Killeen, Texas, and became an assistant in a kindergarten class in CCD. So I have done that now for almost 40 years. And in the meantime, because of all the studies that I have participated in, my love for the Bible has really grown. I really enjoy the Word of God. It's like a well that you can continually drink of. It's great. So I started my official Bible study in Arlington, Virginia. That's still going. So that was in 1987, and we did that for 6 years. And then when we came here, I didn't start it right away because Monsignor Freeman hired me immediately when I got off the plane as DRE. And he showed me the CCD office. He handed me the keys and he said, figure it out.
Okay.
So that was, I had been well educated in the theology, but in the whole process of administration and what all goes in to running a program like that, we had then about 280 children. Frank Lucido then gave me a book that was written by a lady from San Antonio on how to be a good DRE. And I just went and separated myself from everybody and learned that book by heart and put it in place. So when that was running well, then I concentrated on starting a Bible study at St. Patrick. So we started on March 5th, 1996. So that's 16 years ago. That's been a long time.
Well, first of all, what a great great life you have and you are continuing to live. I mean, your experiences seem wonderful.
It's a lot.
But the fact that you actually learned an interest and participate in Bible study shows that you can be around the world, you can learn many languages, but it's really God that keeps you grounded and it's really God that you keep coming to.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So how many people, you said you started in 1996, how many people have you had? Hundreds of people go through the Bible studies with you?
Yeah, I guess so. Over the years, over 16 years, you know. I mean, every week we meet like about anywhere between 20 and 30 people. Some stay, but of course some leave, some die, some, you know, start. So, I mean, I don't exactly know how many people that I didn't keep track of.
Oh, there you go. And let me ask you, what is your main goal in these Bible studies? What do you do? What do you study?
We have studied timelines. We have gone into every book specifically of the Bible. Right now, because, I mean, listening here and there, looking at advertisements of Bible studies, you know, Little Rock Scripture Study comes into the house, all kinds of different programs. I was watching one day, and there was a priest from the Netherlands, which really, since I am from there, that really caught my interest. So he was talking about a Bible study that is called Come and See. It is from Emmaus Publishing Group. And this is very thorough. It does take time. You need to set some time apart to really study this. So you read a couple of chapters from the Bible. This is looking at the three first Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which, you know, synoptics means with the same eye. So we take, for example, the Our Father, and we see how it is in one gospel versus how the text is in the other gospel. So last week we did the parables. Actually, that is tomorrow night. Next week will be the miracles of Jesus. So in those three different gospels, you know, a specific miracle, how is it written in one versus the other, and why is that?
So let's elaborate on that. You mentioned the word synoptic gospels. Some of the people in our audience might not know that there are similar stories written differently in the different gospels.
Well, optic, you know, has to do with the eye. So like synonymous, kind of like the same. It is, the stories are the same, but they are adjusted to the audiences that they were written for. So, and that is what differs. So, for example, for tomorrow night, we have the parables of Jesus. We read from the three Gospels. There is a commentary. And then, so it's an extensive commentary. And then you have to sit with your pencil and look up everything in the Bible and in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So that takes a while. That takes a couple hours.
So I'm looking at your the Bible study here. You brought in some materials for me to take a look at. Are these Bible studies for anyone? Can it be an introduction to Scripture, or do we need to have some background in Scripture? How do you work that out?
Okay, we start with an overview of the Old Testament. Okay, and I ask everybody to learn this by heart.
Okay, so this is a timeline, a brief history of the Old Testament.
It's a brief history of the Old Testament, because that's really the foundation. Because, as you know, many things in the New Testament, you know, I mean, we're built on the Old Testament. So that is what we start with. And then they just dive in. I always tell them to be patient, especially if they have never done this before. Because for the people that have been with me for years, you know, they have now become quite knowledgeable, obviously. So it's a little bit, how do you say that? They may be a little bit embarrassed, you know.
Okay.
But, I mean, we are a very easy group. We give you a hug and you can fold right in. I mean, you don't need to be embarrassed.
Okay, you know? So you don't need to be an expert in Scripture.
No, absolutely not. Okay. Learn by doing.
All right.
Definitely.
So going back to...
So when we come, Margaret, mm-hmm. We do the Vespers first, since we meet in the evening. That people have not been introduced to that many times either, so that we give an introduction to if there are any new people, and they will buy the short version of the Christian prayer.
So tell our audience what Vespers are.
Vespers is an official liturgy of the church. The idea is that every few hours, officially, we place ourselves in the presence of God. to give him glory and to worship him. So it's really, really a reading of the Psalters. There is a morning prayer and an evening prayer that a religious priest and also as a lay Dominican, we are asked to pray that. If you go, for example, by the Chapel of the Pink Sisters on Ocean Drive, that it's their life to praise the Lord. They're cloistered. So they pray this every 3 hours. As in the introduction, it says that the apostles did. The apostles comes from the Jewish tradition. So this actually is a Jewish tradition. It is a reading of the Psalms. It's also called the Psalter or the Divine Office, right? It has several names.
Yvonne, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
Okay.
This is Labors of Love. Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Mathis and the Knights of Columbus Council 11663 invite all public safety employees, law enforcement and correctional officers, firefighters, EMS personnel, and emergency dispatchers, along with their families and friends, to their 11th annual Blue Mass and Awards Dinner Saturday, September 22nd, 6 p.m. at the church, 217 West San Patricio in Mathis. The term Blue Mass refers to the color of the uniforms worn by many of these professions. The Mass, which dates to 1934, recognizes the sacrifice of these public safety servants and remembers those who have given their lives in the line of duty and in service to their community. The Blue Mass honors St. Michael the Archangel, patron saint of those employed in the public service field. The Most Reverend Edmund Carmody, Bishop Emeritus of Corpus Christi, will preside at this special Mass to be followed by a dinner honoring several area safety individuals. For more details, call Sacred Heart Church at 361-547-9181.
Thanks for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Yvonne Youngblood, who leads the St. Patrick Tuesday Evening Bible Study. Yvonne, I want to share with our audience this brief statistic from the Barna Group that discovered that 84% of teens and young adults admitted they have no idea how the Bible applies to their field or professional interest. They also mentioned that 3 out of every 5 teenagers leave the church after 15, which for me, they're still trying to figure out who they are and where are their parents, but they've learned and determined that 15-year-olds decide to probably attend a non-denominational church or leave the church altogether. What do you think about this kind of statistic?
When I go around and having traveled a lot, especially being from Holland, my Catholic church has practically disappeared in that place. People do not know the story. You know, they cannot really, you can form an opinion or tap into something that you know nothing about. So it is really about education. I was fortunate because there are many people from my generation here in the United States who are not really all that well versed in the Bible. But since I was brought up by the Dominicans, by the time we were in the 12th grade, we had a good handle on what was in the Bible, for sure. And the comparisons, you know, of the prophecies, how they were lived out in the New Testament and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. An intense study. So that really got me hooked on all those stories. Having been ever since then practically not only with my own 5 children, but in religious education, I tried to make it come alive, like put this project together right here of really building the tabernacle like Moses was ordered by the Lord to do it in the desert. In order to get a feel of this, I have walked to the Holy Land with my little backpack 3 times. And I, in the year 1999, which was dedicated to God the Father, I said to the Lord, I really want to go to Sinai. I want to stand there by the burning bush where you gave your name. And I want to climb that mountain where you gave the 10 Commandments. So that's too long a story, but it was fantastic how the Lord put that in place. Because I like to go to Mass every day. So it had to be with a religious group which I found in France from the Order of St. John. We met in Cairo, trucked down to Sharm el-Sheikh in the Sinai Desert, and continued with jeeps to Mount Sinai. And that's 8,000 feet. I practiced in my condominium on the steps to get to the top. So in any case, from that came this.
So when you're referring to this for our audience, you're working on a particular project. Share right. with us what that project is.
Well, this project was building the tabernacle about a fourth of the size as the Lord had ordered Moses to build it. Another project that we did when the first trip that I made was in honor of our Blessed Lord. So I did the 15 mysteries of the rosary. And when I came back of that, we took the parish hall and we made it Nazareth. And we did an in-depth study on what kind of was used like for woodworking. So we designed the true instruments that were used at that time. There was obviously no electricity. So everything that we did pertained to that time period. We built a synagogue with the help of the synagogue right here on Saratoga with the rabbi. Mm-hmm. He lent me a lot of stuff. So that was really a neat project. So through the projects, and especially for the kids, that they can lay hands on this Bible and actually participate in it, you know, I think that this was very successful. They really liked it. They really liked it. They liked the projects.
So you've been leading these Bible studies for 16 years, but you also participate with the kiddos in the CCD program at St. Patrick's?
Right.
Okay. And I know you're very passionate about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd.
Yeah.
Could you share with us a little bit about that program?
The Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, the Lord works is like a puzzle. Piece by piece, he puts this in place. It's very interesting. I love the way that he does that. I'm a Montessori kid. I started in kindergarten with the Dominicans. So I knew about the method. And when I came to Arlington, Virginia, on one Sunday, I don't know why I was footloose and fancy free, but I walked the halls and the director of religious education said, Yvonne, you need to go into that classroom. That lady has a bunch of little kids. The helpers did not show up. You need to go in there and give her a hand. And I had prayed to the Lord for some kind of a program for those little ones where they could lay down on all the holy things that we have in church. And when I walked in, and Margaret, you've been through this, you've seen it. I mean, I was sold on it and I just said, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. So I went out of the whole state of Virginia, Marilyn Krause, who is an official teacher for the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, came to my church. Father paid the $400. And it was the only class that was held in Virginia at that time with her in my church. So it made it possible for me to attend. And I knew that eventually we would move. Father Tuck said, that is okay. I know it's going to be a good investment. So when I came here in 93 and I was hired as DRE, my husband cut the wood in the house that we had rented and I painted. And slowly but surely, we got two ladies. That's all a whole story on how that came to be. But in any case, we met in the CCD office Friday at 5 o'clock. I showed them the material, gave them the lesson, and they put it in place. So one presentation at a time we build it.
So with the Montessori method, we were talking about hands-on.
Right.
So when you say that your husband got the wood and cut the wood and you painted it, we're allowing the kids to really experience the different scenes that come out of Scripture.
Absolutely.
So give me an example of some of the little scenes that you would be building for them.
Well, for example, the Annunciation. You know, there is the little house of Mary. It is a simple method whereby we stick strictly to Scripture, which is also special for the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. You don't tell the story in your own words, not even for three-year-olds. You go directly to Scripture. If there are difficult words, you explain it in simple terms, but you just stick to the story. And then you show them the presentation that goes with it, and then they are invited to go into the presentation. It actually becomes their property. It goes in the section, the Annunciation of Infancy Narratives, and they work with it. And by doing that, maybe a helper can, there's a little scripture booklet that goes with it that repeats the story. And by handling the characters, they interiorize the message.
So there's a little house that's built. There's maybe a little statue of Mary that was handmade by the catechist, by the teacher.
Yeah, and a little angel. So, but simple.
Well, I went to the training for Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, level one, part
right.
one, and I really fell in love with it. And just the method that they use, the Montessori method, the hands-on, the fact that they'll share the story of Scripture and then allow them to visually see and touch and feel and smell. I mean, it's just a wonderful program, and I truly appreciate it.
So this project is, how did this Bible that we have in our hands come to be? Okay. Even in English, because obviously it was not originally written in that language.
Which so, people don't know. So
which
that's
people
why
do not know.
Bible study would be important.
Right. So we start by the, it is the center display is the tabernacle that Moses was asked to build by the Lord in the desert. And then we have 12 cubicles that go around that. That step by step explain how we get this final product. And we begin with the letters itself. How did we get the alphabet? That is a fascinating study.
So you go fundamentally back to that.
We fundamentally go back. That's the first one.
Wow.
Very interesting. And then we go to what has been dug up. So that subject is archaeology. What kind of finds, you know, do we get out of all these layers of years
of earth
that we can use for this exhibition on the Bible? And then, of course, we go into Jewish life, right? Their traditions, how that Bible came to be composed, how it came to be translated, and how it is now used in the different languages. So, like, for example, the beginning of writing in the Middle East, life in the Middle East, Jewish worship in the Old Testament, and the beginning of the Bible, first oral tradition, and then eventually it comes to be written down. Stories and teaching committed to writing. Then we go to the Middle Ages, where we have the beautiful art. People didn't really know how to read. So we go to the cathedrals, and there we have the whole story of the Bible in the beautiful stained glass, you know, and in all the statues, all the things that we have to see in the beautiful cathedrals.
Yvonne, don't give the rest away, because I really want people to attend your Bible study. But if you were to speak with someone and try to, let's say, convince them that this would be really worth their while, what would you tell someone that was interested in going to a Bible study?
Our life on earth is short, even though my mother-in-law is now 94 and her husband 103. Still, that's a very short time. Where is it that we are going? Right? We are called to eternal life with the Lord. So what is our preparation for that? Do we have a roadmap to get there? So it's not just secular things. We have to really spend some time this is not an ordinary book, the Bible. This is God's Word. And it is a textbook for our life. You know, we need to know it. So take out a little time for Bible study and come and join us.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much, Yvonne. Stay with us with Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org. Or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Creation is a remarkable and diverse thing. For thousands of years, man has explored the world around him and uncovered places new and old, as well as species thought to be extinct, and others never before seen. There seems to be no end to the parade of discoveries, and rightly so, because each one has led us to look beyond it to other possibilities. After so many discoveries, we have come to understand cause and effect, to recognize the interrelatedness of everything that exists. For example, we know that a heavy snow in the mountains often leads to floods in the spring, once the snow melts and flows into the rivers and streams. For that matter, we know that water flows naturally downhill, towards the valleys and canyons below, and eventually to the oceans. We know the pull of the moon on the tides of the oceans, and the heat of the sun on a cloudless day. We even know of animals we've never seen by studying fossil remains. What may be most amazing about all that we have discovered and learned is how simple it is for man to lose his sense of awe, his sense of humility, that he even exists. He has been graced to know and discover these things. Man, and man alone in all of creation, can know himself and know that he is not like other creatures. Only he has been gifted with the ability to know that which cannot be seen or touched, heard or smelled, nor even tasted. We have hopes and dreams and aspirations of things unseen. We reach out and take a stone and transform it into steel and shape that steel into wings that propel us through the air. We build crafts to take us into space, beyond the realm of the earthly kingdom, and we proclaim ourselves to be little less than gods. We must ask ourselves, have we really come very far since the Tower of Babel? Have we really learned what is most important about our existence? That perhaps we do not exist for our own self, that maybe, just maybe, there is something more. In the midst of it all, most of us go about our daily life with few serious thoughts about these things. We struggle just to keep going in a world that can be both wonderful and cruel. We often feel that most things are beyond our control and accept them for what they are, along with a certain sense of hopelessness. Even so, there is hope for us. A hope that comes from beyond ourselves, beyond our own ability, a hope that requires faith and humility. It is the hope which springs eternal. It is the hope that our merciful Father offers, a hope which says, "Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love Him." How can we find this hope? Maybe we should simply think a little less of ourselves and really look at creation around us. Do we really see the beauty of another soul when we look at them? Do we see in our spouse or our children, in the face of our parents, the unique beauty God created them with? Do we hear in their words the depth of longing in their hearts to be loved and accepted? As we continue our journey, may God bless us to encounter in one another the awesome power of His love, and may you always seek that love in every person you meet. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Yvonne Youngblood, who leads the St. Patrick Tuesday Evening Bible Study from 7 to 9 p.m. in the Youth Center. If you would like more information, please call her at 361-853-1924. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.